Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. Each Sunday, we get to participate in what we call the Lord's Supper. This is a practice that Jesus instituted for his people to remember and celebrate him and what he accomplished in their place until he comes again for them. And Psalm 19 is a great Old Testament passage that has all the right ingredients for remembering Christ as well as what he's accomplished for us. Specifically, verse 12 prepares us well because it reminds us of two things. Verse 12 in Psalm 19 reminds us, first, of our helplessness, and secondly, it reminds us of our help. So let's read verse 12 together. David asks, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults." Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David asked this rhetorical question first. He asks, "Who can discern his errors?" or "Who can rightly understand his wrongdoing, his sins?" And he doesn't bother answering it because the answer is obvious. It's nobody. No one can fully understand his own sin. No one this side of heaven can fully discern his errors, that is, all the individual sins that he's committed, nor can any of us individually or collectively discern the true sinfulness of any particular sin. We in our fallen state lack the capacity to do this, and lacking this discernment means that we are completely helpless and unable to declare ourselves innocent before a holy God. As striking as David's question itself is, what may be most shocking is when he asked this question in the flow of the psalm. Before getting here and asserting the undiscernible nature of his own sin, look at what he says in verses 7 through 11. First, he says, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. And the rules of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." So David recognizes, as he is asking the question, who can discern his errors, he recognizes and considers the supreme value of God's word. He knows that only by God's perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, timeless, and true and righteous word can the soul be changed, the simple made wise, the heart made to rejoice, and the eyes enlightened. David is not oblivious to the value of God's word. And even with that in mind, he comes to the conclusion that his errors are still undiscernible for him. And we would do well this morning to agree with David about our own helplessness. Now, considering our helplessness apart from our help is not a comforting thought. J.C. Ryle understood this, which is why he said in his book Holiness, "Awful and tremendous as the right view of sin undoubtedly is, no one need faint in despair if he will take a right view of Jesus Christ at the same time." So let's do that now. Let's consider the one who helps the helpless. Look back at verse 12. After his question, David makes a request. And his request to God is, "Declare me innocent from hidden faults." David asked God to declare him innocent or justify him despite the fact that he has faults that are hidden, despite the fact that he has sins that are undiscernible for him. Consider what must be true about God if God is going to help David in this way. If God is going to declare David innocent of the faults that were hidden from David, then God must be omniscient. His knowledge must be so comprehensive that even those sins that were hidden from David about himself must be fully disclosed to God. God must also be sovereign, possessing the judicial authority required to declare David innocent. God must also be omnipotent, being powerful enough to declare something that does not exist, like David's innocence, into existence. And God must be merciful and gracious and eager to forgive if he would dare to pardon such wretched sinners with sins beyond finding out. God alone, the one who made the heavens to make known his own worthiness, is the only one capable of pardoning guilty sinners. And this God, whose glory is declared by all of creation, he became like us in order to live unlike us, to endure the wrath of God that we all should have. That's the good news of the gospel, and that is why we take communion every Sunday. In just a second, the men are going to pass out a little cracker, some juice. During this time, remember your own helplessness. You are completely unable on your own to change your standing before God, but don't stop there. Remember Jesus, the one who alone is your help. And he's not your help in the sense that he comes alongside you and helps you to change God's mind about you. But he is your help. Remember that he is your help in the sense that you, the helpless one, receive unfathomable kindness that you should have never laid claim to in the first place. If you do not see your sin in these terms, if you don't think that your sins really are that bad, or that within your own ability to manage, or if you think that God shouldn't view you as he views the really bad people, then right now don't add to your sin by proclaiming Christ's death with us. Proclaiming Jesus' death means that you agree with God that your own sin is so heinous, that you are so bad, that nothing less than God's own blood could help you. And these are lofty things to consider in such a short amount of time. But how appropriate that we do so now. So on your own, when you're ready, remember Christ and take communion on your own.